obviously you dried, right, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or maybe there's headless water in certain parts. Until the moisture is gone, you can offer 2 rakats tahiyyat al-wudu, the 2 rakats of wudu. Why should you do it? Look at the report. Our beloved Messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever does this and does the 2 rakats with humility, all his sins are forgiven. If he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in another report, this is the report, in Abu Dawud, this is authentic hadith, Hazrat Uqba ibn Amr radiyallahu reported that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever performs wudu properly and then offers 2 rakats in such a way that his heart is fully attentive and body in a state of relaxed composure, then paradise becomes wajib for him. Subhanallah, paradise. Not 100 good deeds, 1,000 good deeds, palace, no, paradise itself. So what's happening? What's this prayer? The above blessed narrations are referring either to the blessed prayers named affectionately as Tahiyyat al-Masjid or Tahiyyat al-Wudu. If you do it in the Wudu Khana in the Masjid, then you do Tahiyyat al-Masjid obviously. Then, if you do it at home, Tahiyyat al-Wudu. And 2 things mentioned in the flawless report, paradise becomes your right as long as you fulfill those conditions mentioned. Your right for doing just 2 rakats. Why? Because you're his guest. Allah is showing you, you know, his gift. Then you got the masjids themselves. The virtues of the masjids are immense. In Ibn Hibban Sahih Hadith, Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu anhu records that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, there are 3 kinds of people. They are in the safe custody of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst alive, they are sustained and are also assisted in their daily cause or chores. If they die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit them by His mercy into paradise. So these 3 types of people have got the best of both worlds. Allah ta'ala Himself is looking after that person. Which 3? The first is he who enters his dwelling and offers salam. That's it. Simple as that. You go back into your dwelling, you go, salamu alaykum. That's how powerful that is. Just getting into that habit. And one report was when you leave, you give salam. But shaitan puts into your mind, this is such a small deed. People in your house are off their head. What's the point of doing it? Now why is shaitan putting that into your head? Because he's depriving you of the simplest and greatest of deeds. Secondly, the one who goes to the masjid. Now this means regularly. You get the best of both worlds. So that's Allah promises you. And the third is the one who goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jihad, so on and so forth. So why have I mentioned this here? Because the second category is the one who regularly goes to masjid. Now look at this report. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when they are alive, Allah the Almighty assists them in their daily, you know, their daily things that you need doing. He's looking after you. Now why is he looking after you on the earth? Paradise is an innumerable reward because you are fond of the masjid. In another report in Tabarani in his Kabir Al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawair is Hassan Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu relates, the masajid or the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth, they shine to the dwellers of the heavens just as the stars shine to the dwellers of the earth. If you were to look at the night sky and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not placed the beautiful stars there, it'd be a bit boring. He's looking at this complete darkness. What beautifies the darkness of the night? Those scattered pearls, the stars. And if you look at the way the stars are created, it blows your mind. You know, we just see the little twinkling, twinkle, twinkle little stars, that's all we hear. But if you look at how Allah Ta'ala created it and what distance it's at, just for you to say subhanallah, it blows your mind. So it beautifies. Similarly, the people in the heavens, when they look at this earth, it's a bit boring, isn't it? What's happening on earth? All this zulm and oppression. The only thing that they look at in awe, they go, subhanallah, are the masjid. So this is a star within a star. Right? The people of the heavens are looking into the stars and subhanallah. Now don't you want to be in that place that the residents of the heavens are literally gazing at? Right? That's why the masjid are so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Ibn Majah, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu records that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a Muslim that makes the masjid his home for salah and zikr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes overjoyed with him just as a family is overjoyed by the return of an absent relative or loved one. What does he mean? Make it your home. It's that you're always there. People say this because I'm looking for so and so. Oh, you find him in masjid. He's always there. They even utter that statement, and when you hear that statement, you're thinking that guy must be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes you go, I want to find his brother. And then he says some other place, you think, astaghfirullah. He goes, oh, you don't want to know brother. You might find him in Jummah in masjid, astaghfirullah. The blessed scholars, rahmatullah alayhi, clarified making his abode in the hadith means that he developed a special attachment for the masajid and thus remains there for prolonged periods of time. Now it's very interesting that when you do your worship in the masjid, there's a special kind of sakinah you don't get anywhere else. Right? Example, you're stressed out in your daily activity. What's one of the most soothing places, if not the most soothing place to go, is the masjid. You go to the masjid, you just sit and it's like, oh, all the bullies are just temporarily taken off your shoulders. That's one of the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I went to London, I mentioned this many times, I went on a day trip with youngsters. We look at all the financial institutions. And then what happened was, the time for Salat, cut a long story short, we eventually found it. And everybody was obviously, it's a very hectic city, you know, they all running about. We entered the masjid with Maghrib. And the Maghrib at that time was around very early, it was winter, I think about 4 o'clock. We got in, and as soon as I walked in, so what, you know, how would you explain it? If somebody had said to me before I entered the masjid, you're going to see a few people sleeping in the masjid. That 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I think, you must be kidding me, what are you talking about? When we entered it, there was a few people just literally sleeping there. Right? And they were just resting, and they were so stressed out, they had to get to the masjid. And then I just looked at them, what's happening? And then he said, subhanAllah. And you know, they have that nice kelula. And then they get over, and I thought, look, there's the place to go. And again, these are the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who become attached to the masjid become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Ibn Khuzaymah, as Abu Hurairah said, radiyallahu anhu, that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, whoever makes the masjid his abode, and was then temporarily preoccupied by some other matter or illness, something happens, takes you out of the pattern of the masjid, then he subsequently returns to the masjid as before, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is overjoyed with him, just as the family of an absent relative or loved one is overjoyed upon his arrival. Look at that. When you miss that, you don't miss it for a non-sharia reason. In other words, something happens, you've got to go somewhere else. When you go back to that masjid again, Allah Ta'ala becomes so happy like he's missed you. So Rabb al-Alameen missed you. Think about that, innit? Because he becomes so pleased because he's come back. Subhanallah. There is also a weak report in Tabarani in which our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, whoever is fond of the masjid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fond of him. Right? And what's interesting is what Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said. And when I reflected upon this, after he just hit it on the nail, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said, was asked, can you describe the hypocrite to us? Look what he said, unbelievable. He said, the hypocrite, when he's in the masjid, he's like a caged bird. In other words, what he said, that's all he said. He doesn't explain it. But what he was obviously referring to was the fact that that bird in the cage, it might look happy, it might be tweeting away, but what can't it wait to see is that little door open. As soon as that door opens, it flies like a rocket. And he goes, this is the hypocrite. In other words, he can't find peace in the masjid. He's the last one in, the first one out. And what's fascinating was Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh did what he was telling you between the lines. Just because you go to the masjid doesn't mean you're not a hypocrite. Understand? Doesn't mean you're not a hypocrite. Even at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to pray 5 times and they were monarchs. Revelation was sent saying that these people are corrupt to the core. But what Imam Malik was clearly stating rahmatullah alayhi was, if you're fond of the masjid, you don't have the attitude, you go in, you spend more time in the masjid, you don't rush out, that is a sign that hypocrisy is not in your heart. And the very fact that we're sitting after Maghrib for the next prayer here, alhamdulillah, it's a great sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another report, in Bazar Tabarani, in his Awsar and Gabir al-Haythami, in Majma al-Zawaid, says Hassan, Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu relates, I heard the Messenger of Allah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the masjid is the house of every person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the one who makes the masjid his home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees to comfort him, guarantees to bestow upon him his mercy, guarantees to make the passage over the bridge of Sirat easy for him, and guarantees his pleasure, and guarantees his paradise. Subhanallah. One guarantees enough from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is guaranteeing everything. Why? Because you are fond of the masjid. Guarantees comfort, guarantees mercy, guarantees that awesome bridge to cross over very quickly, guarantees his pleasure, guarantees you paradise. Why? Because you made the masjid your home. Subhanallah. Similarly, in Qurtubi, in his Tafsir, Ma'arif al-Qur'an, volume 6, page 45 of the English translation, Hazrat Anas radiyallahu relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, whoever wishes to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he keep up with me on this narration, whoever wishes to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should then love me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever wishes to love me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should then love my companion radiyallahu. Whoever wishes to love my companion radiyallahu should love the Quran. Whoever wishes to love the Quran should love the masjid, because they are the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's stop the blessing before that. What does this hadith tell you? If somebody says, I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a condition to that. Do you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yes. There is a condition to that. Do you love the Sahaba? Curse him. Then you don't love anybody. Somebody goes, I love the Sahaba. Oh, there's a condition to this. You love the Quran. Then it's like, look, it's purifying that statement. If you know, yeah, I love Quran. Then do you love the masjid? And if he says yes, 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 then that statement stands proven. You understand? Now the question is, everybody has different levels of connection. So in other words, what the hadith to me is saying, the more of a connection you have to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you're proving your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the empty speech, Ashiki Allah and Ashiki Rasul. Everybody can pull that day and night. Right, but then where's the love for the Sahaba? I love Sahaba, name me terrible. They go, they try to remember the 10 promised paradise. They go, Rahman Ali, then they go, they take more as well, and they go, Subhanallah. Then the hadith continues. Our beloved Messenger then said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined to raise them, has enjoined to raise the masjid, and he has blessed them. Then he recites, sorry, what did he mean by this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He was referring to a verse of the Quran. This is not part of the hadith. The verse he was referring to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was this verse in Surah Nur, Surah 24, verse 36, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. In the houses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted to be raised, and where his name is remembered and his purity is pronounced in the morning and evening. So the verse of the Quran says he has permitted to be raised the houses. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined to raise them, and he has blessed them. They are blessed, and those who live there are also blessed. They are in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who live there are also in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are busy there in their salat, by virtue of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets the words done and fulfills their needs. Indeed, whilst they are in the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even protects their household in their absence. Subhanallah. Even your own household, somebody goes, I'm going to masjid, I'm worried about my family. That's a total contradiction. If you know your deen, if you go to the masjid, you shouldn't be worried. If you don't go to the masjid, then you've got a problem maybe with your family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises to protect even your household. So again, look at that report about the masjid, unbelievable. Right? So our beloved Messenger said to the Allah, whilst they are in the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects even their household in their absence. Subhanallah. I'll give you an example of this. No, once in the masjid, one is allowed to talk, but one should speak only good words in a low tone. Some people totally zip because you're not even allowed to talk. So let's explain this. In Qurtubi in his Tafsir, Ma'arif al-Quran, volume 6, page 49 of the English translation, Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib, the great Tabi'i, rahmatullahi, relates, the one who sits in a masjid is in reality like he who sits in the company of his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, it is incumbent upon him not to say anything but good words. Look at that. If somebody goes to you, you're sitting in front of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you going to start talking silly? Imagine that if somebody goes, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, oh, sorry. Then somebody goes, everybody will turn on him, you beakoof, you shame the door. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look at that, what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You're in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, you're sitting with Allah, so obviously, metaphorically with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet you're saying strange things. The masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously, is blessed above others. In Ibn Hibban, Sahih, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any one of you who leaves his dwelling to come to my masjid, that's masjid in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then until he returns back, for every footstep a good deed is written, and for every other footstep an evil deed is erased. When he returns back, normally when you go to the masjid, it's very near. But when you go to the masjid in Nabi, people travel thousands of miles. Which means that when you're walking back, imagine you're walking back to your house, isn't it? Yeah, get into the van. Yeah, get to the airport. Yeah, get on the plane. Yeah, get into Manchester Airport or Heathrow. Get off here, get in the car. All those steps, you're still getting rewarded for because you're going back home. That's because you went to Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So subhanallah, another incredible virtue for the incredible pilgrims. And just to mention the hadith about the Dajjal there. There's a hadith about the Dajjal in Imam Ahmad Muslim Hakim in his Mustadrak, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Dajjal will climb up and then he will look down and he will see, and this is his word. This is what the Dajjal will say. That is the masjid. Do you see that white fortress? Do you see that white fortress? That is the masjid of Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did the Dajjal describe masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He described it like a white fortress. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that just did not make any sense whatsoever. Somebody goes, white fortress? It's just two trees and some straw on top, makeshift roof. The Hadith mentioned that when it rained heavy, there would be mud in the sacred masjid. And yet the Prophet ﷺ was talking in the future. And now if you look at the aerial view of the holy masjid, and somebody goes to you, does that look like a white fortress? Perfect description. Indeed it does, and look at that. That's what the Prophet foretold to ﷺ. Now what's of course frightening is that's already there. So if he appears now, emerges, if he looks at the masjid, he goes, that, do you see that white port? So again, amazing statements by our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also just to mention very quickly about the masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim, it mentions that the Sahaba would talk about the jahiliyyah in the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would merely smile at them. So some of the blessed scholars state that this is a proof that you couldn't talk about worldly matters in the masjid. But the reason the Sahaba were talking about the Jahiliyyah was to show their thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they were taken out of the Jahiliyyah. They weren't boasting about that. Remember that time when I was with that woman? Right? So what they were doing was they were saying, subhanallah, look at how we were. So this is a proof you can't talk about the Jahiliyyah. However, in the sense of Alhamdulillah, then there's another report. And that report is weak, but like I mentioned yesterday, when you mention a weak report, you shouldn't reject it. And the report mentions the angels. The way I describe this hadith is like the referee gives you the yellow card, then he gives you the red card. But in this report, it mentions three cards. It mentions that when a person is talking the reports from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a weak report. The angels, first they give you that mild reprimand. It goes, oh, servant of Allah, remember where you are, where should that affect? If he continues, the angels then get a bit angry. Because all servant of Allah, be quiet, what's the matter with you? And then after the third time he cursed, they cursed. Because the curse of Allah be upon you for disrespecting the masjids of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's a week before. So again, I thought I'd mention that. But like I mentioned, it's not to be rejected. And it does make sense, because obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show kindness. But you shouldn't directly disobey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's any questions on this? All we discussed today was wudu, some of the incredible virtues of wudu. And then we talked about the glorious houses of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any questions you want to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم